Blog Talk Radio.
It's 6:30 on a Sunday, and we are live. This is your weekly AA meeting with Arlo and Adam.
That's right, boys and girls. It is Sunday. It is 6:30, and we are live. This is your weekly AA meeting. As always, I'm Adam, and with me is Tahlequah's most eligible bachelor. What is up, Arlo?
What's up, brother? How's your weekend going?
Man, I am high and dry, unlike a lot of people. For those of you who aren't aware, it flooded like on biblical levels this weekend here in Tahlequah and all over northeastern Oklahoma. Still better than the panhandle. At least we didn't get 32 degrees and 12 inches of snow. We just got about a foot of rain, and Tahlequah was not known for being a flood zone, and half the damn town was underwater.
I don't know why it's not. We're all surrounded by creeks and rivers.
Well, every creek turned into a river this week.
Well, I mean, I wasn't here. I literally missed everything. I'm sitting in Van Buren, Arkansas, getting a tattoo. We'll go over that here in a minute.
Right.
I'm in Van Buren, Arkansas, getting a tattoo. No rain. I leave at 9:30 in the morning, and I get to Van Buren about 10:30, 11. And I get there, and it just started here in Tahlequah when I was leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I take the little over hour drive. I get there. It's a little overcast and a little bit of mist, but that's it.
Right.
And I was getting my tattoo till 2, 3 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was and just when I was leaving, it started storming there. And it wasn't bad. I mean, literally, I drove 15 minutes toward Fort Smith on I-40 from Van Buren, and literally, it was nothing all the way home and dry. All the way home. And then I get back to Tahlequah because, man, everyone's blowing my phone up. Are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, what in the world is everyone talking about? Everyone's freaking out. And I look on Facebook and I see all these posts of, oh my God, the flood's here. Look at this. And and I'm not trying to, it looked bad.
Yeah.
But it was the same five spots.
Right.
That I've seen 200 people's different views.
Yeah.
It was down by Town Branch. Any part of that branch that it follows, any part of the branch that it followed,
right,
was flooded. Okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
City Park was flooded. Got it.
Yeah.
The little creek right behind Aaron's flooded. Got mm-hmm. it. The creek by McDonald's flooded. Got it. And I was like, it's the same spots over. The only one that surprised me, the two that surprised me was 4th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone, I know y'all don't know Tahlequah, but me and Adam's just going to discuss the flood. Was the 4th Street flooding? That surprised me. And then Highway 82 going out of north of town looked like a river on both sides of the road. That's the two that surprised me.
I didn't even think of 4th Street, and I work on 4th Street. And holy crap, now I'm sitting here worried because – for those of you who don't know, I'm an IT professional, and my job is I make the network go for our part of the tribe. And so I'm saying, oh God, I hope water didn't get into my server racks. No.
Yeah,
I would have known. We got alarms and stuff on that.
Nerded out just then. Oh no, my computers.
How are you? My computers. I'm wet.
Man, I was like, and so like I said, I'm like, damn, how am I gonna get home?
Mm-hmm.
And me and my dude Jay Little, awesome, best fucking tattoo artist ever. We're sitting there, and
that's a rap name right there,
ain't it, Jay Little? But we're sitting there, and I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna do this tattoo until you know we get tired.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we're sitting there, and I'm like, how am I gonna get home? And I can't go through the same route I came home because it's all down by the river. I'm not going through there.
Right.
And I thought, well, I'll go through I-40 and see if I can get through on the lake. So I'm thinking it's going to be apocalypse.
Right.
You know, the way everybody was talking, it was, everyone's about to die in Tahlequah. Everyone talked like it was about to be the last city of Atlanta.
The whole week leading
I wouldn't hear. So I can't say if it was super bad or even remotely bad, I can't say because I wasn't even here. Now I didn't get anything.
Right.
And so I take out 40. It's just dry. And everyone's like, we made CNN. We're on this. We're a disaster. And I was like, good night. How am I going to get home? How am I going to make it?
Right.
And live and not float down the river, you know? And I go home. I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, there is nothing. There is nothing out here in the roads.
That's
dry
crazy.
All the way home.
That's insane.
And
yeah.
I'm like, where's all this CNN stuff? Where's all those Channel 8 reporters? I was like, I mean, like I said, I'm sure it was bad because I did see the pictures.
Yeah.
I saw a few cars underwater, and that's horrible.
Yeah.
But I was like, damn, I was like, well, I'm glad I missed all. I think I was the only person in Tahlequah, from Tahlequah,
right.
that missed it.
Yeah, man, it was pretty crazy. I mean, whenever you think of blizzards, you have what they call the whiteout, where it's snowing so bad you can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's about what the rain was like.
Really?
For at least 2 hours. And
wow.
It was just literally buckets. And the bad part, and first world problems. The whole time, everybody's like worrying about the flood, you know, coming at their back door. And I'm like, damn, my dog absolutely fucking hates the rain. And I'm trying to find a place for him to piss and shit.
You sound so white. My dog hates the rain.
Right?
We're Indian, so that's why we say stuff like that. He's got like a rich person, man.
Yeah, well, my Indian name is Skeely, so, which is Cherokee for ghost, for those non-Cherokees out there. But, it was pretty crazy. And I live on the outskirts of Tahlequah. I'm at the top of this supposed bowl that Tahlequah resides in.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty funny. If you ask anyone that lives here, they swear up and down a tornado will never touch Tahlequah because we're in a bowl and it'll just go right over. And you got to love us, the science these people come up with. But we haven't been hit by a tornado as far as anyone could remember. So, you know, I've also got a tiger repellent necklace. I've never been mauled by a tiger, so it works. But and anyway, my housing addition is on the top of this valley, and then I'm on the top hill of that hill, so
that's why tigers don't get to you.
That's right. But you laugh, but there's a fucking bobcat in the woods behind my house.
No, it's not a tiger,
and everybody laughs at me because I'm like, oh, I saw this bobcat, and everyone's eyes just instantly glaze over and they roll their eyes, trying their hardest not to roll their eyes. And I swear there is a fucking bobcat back there.
I believe you.
And it scared the shit out of me because...
You better watch your dog.
Yeah, no joke. It's about the size of a full-grown German Shepherd.
Yep.
And
that's a big bobcat, then.
Big ass ears, no tail.
Mm-hmm.
And I was back there one day cleaning.
So you got that stub tail like this?
It's probably shorter than that.
No.
And I was back on the back fence trying to clear some trees and brush out. And I'm moseying all along.
You better watch your ass, too, then.
Yeah. And I'm pulling some trees out, and I see a big pile, and I was going to start pulling some trees back.
That's where he's hiding.
Oh, yeah. I hear it just jumps out, and it just pounces, and it freezes and stares right at me. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, don't kill me. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. Hands up. And I'm, like, backing away slowly. I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. And the thing just
pray.
Hisses.
Pray. That's what you
do. That's what I was, man. I'm glad I wore the brown pants that day. And so that thing takes off, and it jumps off. The thing runs like a fucking rabbit. It just pounces and just jumps. But anyway, long story short, I saw it. Everyone thinks I'm nuts. But hopefully the freaking thing flooded out too and washed out.
What you're saying is you want me to hunt it.
Yeah, no, let's go. I'm ready to get that thing.
You know I'm always strapped in the car. I'm just saying.
I've seen it 3 times in the last 15 years that I've lived there. And no one ever believes me. One day you're gonna put a bullet in the back of its head. You want to mount that freaking thing. And I'm not a big hunter.
You probably won't mount its head. But if I put it in the back of its head, you ain't mounting the head. We just leave the head off and mount.
I don't care. I won't care at this point. I'll hang a sign from the neck. I told you so.
I like it.
Oh, man. But, yeah, the flooding was pretty bad.
Was
the
horrible.
People just down the road from me, not even 7 houses. There's a – normally it's barely even a babbling brook.
Uh-huh.
And this thing was just overflowing river, and a lot of people got a lot of flood damage. And a good friend of mine, he was pretty pissed because he's nowhere near any kind of drainage river or anything. And they washed out his house almost. And then he was going, so they're going out there and they're squeegeeing this water out. And then goes in the living room and there's a copperhead in his living room.
Oh, wow.
So he goes and plugs it with a 22 and it's just mind blowing.
I heard some houses were getting water damaged up there.
Yeah.
Up here.
Yeah.
That's horrible, man. That is horrible.
I'm hoping they did flood insurance because most people don't do flood and that doesn't come standard with your insurance. So it's a pretty crazy deal, pretty crazy weather. Now it's colder than a witch's titty out here. It is freaking cold.
It is freezing.
And but I've got a concert coming up here in about 3 weeks. We've never talked about it, and it's pretty funny because I'm super obsessed with it. I'm more obsessed than I should be with anything other than my family and job. But for any of you who's not familiar, it's Rocklahoma is coming up here in about 23 days, not that I'm counting. Memorial Day weekend, huge blast, and we're talking over 60 bands, and I've been going for every year for like the last 3 or 4 years, and I'm huge on social media, and so my first year it was awesome. I didn't know anybody, but the community that's out there is bar none. I've never experienced anything like that in my entire life. Everybody's just looking out for each other. Everyone's policing each other. The first thing I do when I get there is set up my camp and meet my neighbors. And a couple of years ago, my cousins stayed with me, mm-hmm. and they came in late, and my neighbors about ran them off. Who the hell are you? I know Adam and da-da-da-da-da. I didn't even think to tell them that I had company coming. But they ran them off. They started asking a bunch of questions. They didn't appreciate it. Later on, we laughed about it, and we all drank together.
But that's cool, though, man. At least they were looking out for your stuff. I mean,
oh yeah.
You don't find that, especially like in you know, one thing I give you credit for, what you just said, is you do get a lot of that community type unity thing when you're at mm-hmm. at Rocklahoma.
You bet.
Like every time I went, I was always expecting a bunch of just idiots.
Yeah, and there are some out there.
Yeah, of course, and that's in every crowd.
But
there's a lot more good people there
mm-hmm.
that will look out for stuff like that and watch out for people than there is people that are just idiots trying to start stuff.
You bet. And, I mean, last year I think they had over 64,000 people.
Wow. Was that the biggest one they had?
Yeah, yeah. It was their 10-year anniversary.
Dude,
and so
I went there I went there a few years back when they had corn.
Yeah.
You were there. I think I passed you. I think
yeah,
I passed
you
there. Yeah, mm-hmm. I passed you out. I think you were just drunk walking around.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. You go VIP, all you can drink.
That's it, man. VIP screws you over, dude. It
what?
Just, well, not screws you over, but I mean, you're going to get smashed the whole time you're there.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can't beat free drinks, but you were pretty trash. You were just like, Arlo! And I was like, yeah, this motherfucker's drunk.
Dude, I'm like that.
That's the
face
he makes right there. That's the
face
he makes right there. He gets all this.
Follow us on Facebook. I shared a meme the other day, and it's like this baby orangutan. My eyes wide open, arms way out.
That's Adam drunk.
Totally. 100%.
He gets the biggest smile on his face. It just gives
true
you the
story.
Biggest hug. It just talks your ear off. It's great though, man.
Damn right.
And you know, you can't beat the VIP experience. I've been on both sides. I've been on just general admission.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been on and ever since I've gone VIP, I cannot not go VIP. I mean, shoot, they feed you.
Right.
You get free drinks.
Yeah.
You can't beat the free. I don't even drink.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't beat the free drinks.
Well, you get buffet style, and it's a huge variety on the buffet, so it doesn't matter how picky you are. And all the food's good. And then free beer from the time the gates open till the last act.
Yep.
And I've saved so much money for going out there and rolling VIP because that first year I was flat-ass broke.
Mm-hmm.
I took just enough food to live. Early morning breakfast, mm-hmm. and then when you get the beer munchies,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. Well, through social media, I made a lot of friends,
mm-hmm.
and these groups are insane. These groups have got like 1,000. The one group I'm in has 3,000 people in the Facebook group.
Wow. And so, this is all from Rocklahoma.
All of it's Rocklahoma.
That is awesome, dude.
And so people just share stories. They share, and the community just bleeds over on social media.
Of course.
And I made some friends that they're just like family to me, and we put all our sites together. We've got 8 campsites this year, and we throw a huge party called Camp Mardi Gras.
That's awesome.
Because one of my friends,
I'm gonna have to go to it one of these years with you, man.
You got to come out.
Okay, I can't.
So
it's already too late for this year.
Yeah.
So we'll plan on it next year, because I plan on the AA meeting to still be going on this time next year.
You bet. And I will probably be on site. I'm thinking we may do maybe a noon or 11 o'clock broadcast.
I wonder if they'd let me come out there just to do the show.
I'm not sure I can talk. The cool thing is I know just about everybody out there.
Hey, you know, the cool thing is, too, I wonder if we could get in as media one of these nights.
That was actually where I was going.
If they would let us do media, dude, I would come in for the show. I don't care if they send me in the nosebleed,
right
back behind even the general admission people, you know, let all them. I don't care if they. I can sit in that field and just listen to it live.
Yeah.
Last time I went was when they had Godsmack.
Right.
And then I went the year before. When they had who was it, Bush?
Yeah,
Bush. And you know, I was never a big Bush fan until I seen them live.
Yeah, totally. Amazing.
Well, what
show.
Got me was the year that they were there was the year that horrible tornado hit Moore, Oklahoma.
Right.
And the tribute he gave without knowing anybody, with it being on a one day, like 3 days notice.
Yeah.
You know, when that happened, he gave one of the best speeches to dedicate a song to the. He didn't have to do that.
No.
Nobody else in that whole venue of that whole concert, no one else did that except him. And that meant a lot. They became in my top 5 groups of all time just based on that.
Yeah. And every year they auction out guitars that's signed by all the acts.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
And they give them to charities.
Yeah.
Last year, I didn't know these gentlemen, and it was very, very sad. Not last. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, 2 years ago. Yeah, that's last year.
What we call Mudlahoma, because it rained so bad.
Horribly.
It was just a swamp out there. And two young guys, as they were leaving, they were on their way back, and about somewhere around Okmulgee, no one knows how they ended up down that road, but they went off the road into the water and they drowned. It's very, very sad. And then last year, so many campsites did tributes. Some of the guitars got auctioned off, $4,000 to $10,000 guitars got auctioned off, and a lot of the proceeds went to the families of Cody and Ben. And you know what was really eerie? One of my friends who we do our Camp Mardi Gras together, I think I'm bad in social media. This girl is literally everywhere, and she's in every single group. Everybody knows her. I mean, she's like a freaking celebrity. Well, she was, you know, Facebook. They now, if you don't know somebody and they're not on your friends list and they message you, it goes into an alternative folder. Well, she was checking this folder the other day, and she went back a year or so, and Cody had messaged her and said, "What's up?" Oh, she said she broke down in tears. She's like, "I could have been friends with them. They could have been with us. And we could have, because we really look out for each other and make sure everybody gets home okay and all of this stuff." And
you can't be good people, man.
No.
You really can't.
And it really is. I mean, every year they've got some idiots, but it's on the whole, it's just an amazing
time. You know, the best time I had still was when they had corn.
Yeah.
Right. And did you go to that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one we just talked about where I seen you when you were drunk.
Right.
Well, actually, I've seen you. Actually, every time I've seen you there, you were drunk.
Hey,
he's the guy just walking with this glazed look, having the greatest time. And I'm like,
hell yeah.
So trashed right now.
I look that way, but I'm honestly not. I'm honestly not that drunk, because I find my buzz.
You can fool me, because you look good. You look trashed.
When you've seen me when I'm sober, and I'm sober right now. Whenever I'm not doing anything, you know, some girls get the resting bitch face.
So you're calling yourself a girl.
I get the resting asshole face. And so people I've heard, I don't see how I can be possibly intimidating. You can look at the camera. This is not the look of an intimidating person.
It can be.
But if I'm, I mean, my brows are furrowed. I have horrible posture, so I'm slumped over. So I guess I can look like a creepy axe murderer or something. But
creeper.
Yeah. And so, man, when I find my buzz and then I just maintain for the rest of the day until it's about time to go to bed, and then I switch a little bit of something harder till I'm sleepy and then go crawl in bed and call it a night, usually at sunup. But
so when I was listening to Korn, that was like the main reason I went that year.
Yeah.
Of course, that's why everybody went that year.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember they started the concert off with Blind.
Yes.
And me and my boy Damien Hall.
Uh-huh.
We're sitting there in our VIP section, and we stand up on those benches,
yeah,
and we're standing like on top of them.
Yeah.
And we just turn and look, and like it's that white strobe light that's flashing, right? And we're just watching, and the crowd's just jumping, and it's just
right.
What? And I was like, get the out of here, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, look, we were in shock just mm-hmm. standing there watching these waves of people just moving. You got to watch the video on Monday to see my arm doing this. Just moving. And we were like, imagine the rush they're getting.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting a rush just standing there watching the crowd, you know?
Something you're producing
is
moving
yeah.
thousands, you know, 64,000 people. And the feeling and... whether you like the music or not, and a lot of people are bitching this year because it's not nowhere near as heavy as it normally is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of alternative bands like Offspring and Soundgarden and all of that stuff who I'm super stoked for. And I was a big grunge guy in high school. That's when I discovered rock and roll is
mm-hmm.
during the grunge era. But a lot of people are bitching, but there's no other feeling like whenever you're there, everybody's there for the same reason. Everybody's feeling the same groove, and you're just, I don't want to sound too hippie-ish and say you're one with the crowd, but you really lose yourself in the music, and that's what really makes it my drug. But
oh, absolutely.
But we were out. I was in a drawing for a competition for concert tickets for a year through the local radio station. So I was in Tulsa Thursday, and I was all – and I'm like – as if you've heard this podcast before, I'm a huge promotional whore. Whoring myself out, whoring the podcast
all
out.
All the time.
Whoring our campsites out, trying to get, you know, all the DJs. Like, hey, why don't you come party with us, man? Come have a beer with us. All right. Yeah. And then a couple of them was like, hey, you need to check out our podcast, you know.
Yeah.
Because this local radio station, KMOD, the Big Mad Morning Show, they are, for me, they're what really made me feel like, you know what, I could do that. I want to do something like that.
And you know, in a sense, and I love the Big Mad Morning Show also,
yeah.
In a sense of that's what we've kind of coined our show after.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah.
Like at first, and I'm not trying to just say we're mimicking people.
Right.
But it is. You talk about love, life, and
mm-hmm.
everything, you know.
Yeah.
We cover a little bit more sports, and that's it. Other than that, that's pretty much what we've covered. Keep going, bro.
But I met a lot of the DJs there that's super, super cool. And, you know, whenever you're popular, we've all seen those people in, like, in high school and work and around town. They're super, super popular. And then they let that go to their ego. And then
yeah,
they don't – if you don't know me, hey, man, how's it going? And da-da-da-da-da. All right, I got to go over here. But all of them were really approachable.
That's awesome.
One of the guys, Corbin, he really wanted to hear the show. I gave him a shout-out. So what's up, Corbin?
Freaking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That is freaking awesome. And you know, that's what I tell a lot of people. The
mm-hmm.
thing I love about meeting people who's there,
yeah,
who you kind of look up to that you want to get to that level to,
right,
that you're kind of idolized,
mm-hmm.
we should say, is when you meet them and they're super respectful to you. Like
yeah.
they, and I don't mean respectful, because there's some people that they can still be respectful, but they still have that
right.
I'm here and you're down there attitude.
Yeah.
But when they treat you like down to earth people, just because they know they're a person
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, dude, there's no better feeling than that. I've met, you know, cause I've trained fighters. I went to work fights
mm-hmm.
and I met tons of people, and different ones will act different
yeah.
ways. Like when I met Miles Teller
mm-hmm.
at the in Vegas, when I went to the Bleed for this premiere, greatest movie ever. the coolest thing I liked about the kid was when I walked up to him, I was like, hey, and he's like, hey, he's a little buzzed. I mean, who wasn't? It's Vegas.
Notice how he doesn't point out that he was drunk. Now, if it was me, oh, I was drunk again.
But he reaches out and shakes my hand.
Yeah.
And he introduced himself.
Introducing
yourself means 10 times more than anything.
Sure, it's a sign of respect.
Yeah, he introduced himself. I met Matt Hughes, the former UFC welterweight great.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Hughes stood up from his chair and shook my hand and introduced himself.
That's freaking awesome.
And I was like, you're Matt Hughes. Of course I know who the freak you are. You know what I mean? I'm like, but I didn't say it like that, you know. But I was like, holy cow. And like, I met Rampage Jackson. Rampage Jackson shook my hand, introduced himself.
That's awesome.
I'm not going to name drop the ones that didn't.
Yeah.
And I've had guys that are just not the biggest name fighters, but were top 10 like boxers in the world, that when I introduced myself, they were like, oh, yeah. And they introduced themselves and caught themselves. I was like, oh, well, I'm sure you know who I am.
Right.
I don't give who you are. You know what I mean? I mean, at this moment, you just lost everything.
I will name drop. Whenever I was 15, we had a friend that worked security, and he got us in back. That was Edgefest 97.
Oh, well, he's going back in time.
I am. Limp Bizkit was playing their second show on the tour of the album they had just put out, a $3 bill. And Fred Durst,
that was a
total
great album. What?
He was total asshole. I don't know if he was on drugs or if he's just drunk. You know, some people are mean drunks.
Yep.
And just total asshole. And we were there. He's like, who the fuck are you? And we're like, no, we're just coming in and we'd like to meet you guys. And Wes Borland was freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, Fred, at that time, he just broke. I mean, he just hit it. And he was flying up to the top of the chart.
Yeah, but you know, to me, that's just and I don't care if people can disagree, whatever.
Right.
That's just a spin off of who you are.
Right.
Once you get, and you know, that old saying of, you know, help, talking to people who can't do nothing for you, you know, tells me about a lot about your character. That does a lot for them. All them people I mentioned, the reason I don't mention the other ones, because I'm going to get a little irritated and probably say something I shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, because of that.
We've all been there. Or you're stressed. Oh, somebody just died. And then somebody comes up wanting to talk to you, meet you, and talk your ear off, and then you're just going to be short in a dick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I give everybody one.
Yeah.
I give everybody one. First impressions, they say, last a lifetime. That's if you hold grudges.
Right.
And I try not to hold a grudge because of that factor that you just said.
Yeah.
So I'll give everybody a second chance. If I ever come across these people again, and they act the same way, well, then I'm going to say you're a piece of shit.
Fortunately, later on, he had hit that bar and then he fell because he realized he didn't have the staying power. And then I've heard that he's gotten super humble now. So that's freaking awesome.
Who?
So,
Fred Durst?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know why people find humble pie. A, either after everybody turns their back on them.
Right.
Or B, after like a life altering event.
Right. Yeah.
So I hate to say it, as bad as I hate to say it, his humble pie wasn't because everybody turned their back on him. It's probably because he got that humble pie of you're not it no more.
Yeah. Well, maybe I am going to have to work for this. Yeah. I wasn't born to be the next Metallica.
Yeah,
or
I was about to say the same thing. Or AC/DC. I wasn't meant to be people that are rock legends through time, that in 30 more years, people still going to listen to Back in Black. People still going to listen to Enter the Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one listens to Break Stuff anymore.
Right.
I mean, there's probably...
Oh, is that not a great workout song?
Oh, it still is. It still is.
Especially when you're pissed.
Oh, dude, it's still money, but it's not one that I don't even have it on my Spotify.
Yeah.
I don't have it on my phone, dude. I didn't even think of that until now. That's like not even the ones I download.
I love it.
It's still a great song, but it's not, obviously, it's not one that carries through the generations.
Yeah. So when you're in the gym and you're just like, do you have like one big song that really, I mean, I'm sure you got a playlist that really gets you going, but that one song comes on and you're just hulking out, man. You're just.
I got about five songs that if I'm about to do something hard,
right,
that I do. Like if I'm about to try to leg press 1,000,000 pounds, like, well, not really, it's like more like 1200 or something.
Right.
I'm trying to leg press like 1200, or I'm trying to bench 305, or I'm trying to press 350. I got about five songs,
and
I put them down as like hard shit. You know what I mean? It's labeled hard shit. One is Texas Hippie Coalition, Pissed Off and Mad About It.
Oh my God, I love those guys. Super cool guys too.
Really cool guys.
Yeah.
Number two is Pantera's The Walk.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Number three is pardon the language again, but Bad Motherfucker by Machine Gun Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Number four would be Beast by Rob Bailey.
Never heard of that.
Watch the movie Southpaw?
Yeah, I think so.
Very beginning where he says, I'm a motherfucking beast.
Oh, okay.
That's Rob Bailey.
I got you.
Five, anything from that point down. Well, actually, I need to throw in. Actually, you can even knock off Beast. You can knock off Beast because it's about to roll into something else. Four, we can put Avenged Sevenfold, Hell to the King.
Yes.
But from that point on, it's basically anything Rob Bailey. I got this list of Rob Bailey songs that I use. And then you can throw in like Enter the Same. But it's a list for strictly just heavy stuff.
So you're more hip-hop and a little bit some rock in there.
His is actually like a kind of like a Little John, that rock.
Oh, okay.
That rock, like that song for Southpaw was a remake with Busta Rhymes, so it was a little more hip hop sounding. Mm-hmm. Like his actual rap, Rob Bailey's is. And what's cool is he's just a lifter that makes songs kind of about lifting. I'd love to get him on the show. I seen his website and you can contact him.
Uh-huh.
And I'd love to, Rob Bailey, we need to tag him somehow on this, like on Twitter, on social media, or Instagram, because he don't really have a Facebook.
Okay.
I'm done trying to find it. but I'd love to get him on here, dude. He's cool as shit. Like, his wife, Dana Bailey, is a Miss Olympia.
Yeah, wow.
She's, like, shredded and, like, lifts more than anybody, like, any dude out there. Like, she'd bench press me and you at the same time, probably.
That's awesome.
She's jacked. I've been meaning to, hang on. I mean, I had someone hit me up on social media just now and say, hey, give me a shout out.
Who we got?
Kim Daylight. You listening live, just giving you the shout out that you wanted.
What's up, Kim? Thank you for listening to the show. And if anyone else is out there on the internet, feel free to call in. It doesn't have to be what we're talking about. You got something to say, a story, a question. We haven't broken into love or life.
We haven't broken the love line. We started out with real life.
Right. Our phone number for guests to call in is 516-666.
Pick up sticks.
9510. I tried to get through that.
I couldn't get through it. I told you every time now. That's all I think about.
If you're on Facebook, we've got a Facebook page. That's facebook.com, AA Meeting Podcast. Twitter, we're on AA Meeting Pod. And if you're listening to this video and you haven't checked us out on YouTube yet, we are now on video. We record on video. It usually posts on the internet Monday morning, Monday afternoon. If you are watching us on video, we appreciate you. Be sure to hit the subscribe button and give us a thumbs up.
And like us, yes, exactly.
And we definitely appreciate it, and we're happy to give you some shout-outs. Especially if you've got a business or a cause, or you've got something that you would like to promote or advertising, I guarantee you we're cheaper than the radio station because we love doing these podcasts, but unfortunately they're not free. So help us help you. Throw us a couple of bones and some samples or something.
Help us
and
help you.
You bet. I'm gonna use that until I die. And we'll advertise your business for you, give you some shout outs. And if you've got some samples or something, we can even try them out here on the air and feature them on the video or audio or whatever we'd like to do. But yeah, sure. Give us a shout out. We would love to have some sponsors because, man, if we could, this show paid for itself, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, dude, it'd be amazing.
And the more sponsors we get, the better equipment, the better quality of a show we can give you, as well as one day when we get big, you know, we may have better sponsors, so the rates are going to go up. So get up on the cheap. You can say, hey, I knew those guys when.
We never forget where we came from.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We don't got people that forgot where they came from talk to us before. So we can't be them guys. We just bash the people that talked about and did that to us. So we can't do that. Hey, you know, the cool thing, too, though, I got a new tattoo this weekend.
You did? Dude, this looks badass. Hold that up there for the camera for people to see.
Hang on. Yeah, I got it down in Van Buren, Arkansas, with my boy Jay Little, Alpha Omega Inc. It's on Fayetteville Road. I don't know the exact number.
Right.
Hey, look it up. Look it up, and we'll give him a shout-out, dude, and them a shout-out.
Awesome.
But yeah, dude, I sit there for like 8-10 hours, maybe.
What was the name of that again?
Alpha Omega Inc. in Van Buren, Arkansas. So just for giggles, man, we're going live twice. We're going to let this build up. I'm doing two live shows right now. Now, look on my little screen. How much can you see, Adam?
You can see pretty good. It's not in the right orientation, but definitely you can see the artwork there.
That was all one sitting. That was one sitting for one night. It's not finished yet. We just got pretty tired. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's why I missed all that rain. And hey, we got some live people watching again. This is live and live, baby.
Live and living color.
We're going to show you all the tattoo. Let's zoom in on it. Hey, if you're not watching, watch my Facebook feed live right now. Arlo Jumper, just go up there and click on it and friend me or whatever and watch it live. Well, we're going to examine the tattoo. It's not all done yet. So don't get a... It's still pretty bad, though.
That's right. AA meeting live.
Live twice.
You bet. If you want to check us out, we are on Facebook, AA Meeting Podcast. Twitter, we're AA Meeting Pod. Give us a shout out. Come listen to us.
Yeah, exactly. I got all the, you know, we get all these people on my live feed. Y'all come listen to the live show. Call in. Drop that number. I'm not going to say line because every time I say line, you say something stupid. So
that's what I do.
So give us the phone number.
You bet. The phone number is 516-666-9510. Give us a shout out.
Anybody say something? Ask questions right now, people. We all here for you all, man. If you know, if we can get live callers, I'm gonna reach out to everybody somehow. Look at that. We get more people watching this than we probably are listening live. Chris Kennedy, what's up, dog? Charles Factor, what's up, dog? Kim, I see Kim's watching twice. She said she was listening live and watching this, dude. That's dope right there. That's
we
like,
love you, Kim.
Hey, this is what you're all. This is what y'all gonna see on the YouTube video.
Yeah, I'll throw that in there. Yeah, I can edit that in there, too.
Yeah, we'll be live twice, man.
You bet.
Somebody says, hey, there's George. She said, cool tab, Bubba. Thank you. It is pretty cool. You know, I mean, we're just trying to reach out to people. That's all we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And however we reach out, Tennessee. Lindsay's my homegirl, man. I've known Lindsay for like 100 years, and she's been watching twice now on two cool videos, but she don't say nothing. I'm like, Lindsay, I feel bad. But anyways, yeah, man. I mean, it's like the funnest thing we can do right now is going live twice. Someone just messaged you on that?
I think so. I'm checking.
I wish I could tag you, and I don't get bugs flying by my head. Like, no bugs were in here.
I'm already getting business. Let me say it. Somebody wanted their cell phone fixed. By the way, guys, if you want to fix something,
he's whoring himself out again.
That's what I do. Hold him in there. Look me up on Facebook.
Hold himself out again.
I have no shame. None at all.
Trust me, he don't have no shame. Anyways, all these people out here that's still listening, that's watched, that liked it, man, y'all give us a holler. Just give us a holler, man. Drop that number one more time for anybody out there listening.
That's 516-666-9510. Give us a shout out. Give us a holler. You got a question? You want to talk about something? Anything? Could be what we're talking about now, which is nothing. We are the Seinfeld of podcasting. So give us a holler. We'll talk to you a bit.
Hey, we're on two feeds here. So give us that number for Alpha Omega Inc. Drop all that real quick on here, man. Did we look it up? It's is that the one? Yep, that's it.
You bet.
Ask for Jay Little down at Alpha Omega Inc. in Van Buren, Arkansas. It is 1408 Fayetteville Road. Again, 1408 Fayetteville Road in Van Buren, Arkansas. The shop number down there is 479-276-2296. Again, that number is 479-276-2296. Well, anyways, like I said, people out there in Facebook world. Tune in, listen in, call in, give us a shout out, man. Just holler. We're going to get off of here and get back to the show, the live show.
The live.
I don't know what to say on that. All right, later.
That's freaking awesome.
Was that
technology,
fun? Was that fun? I had that planned all night. I knew you'd like it. I said, I'm going to do this.
You see how the communication is here? Likes the spring stuff. But that's why we love to be live, because we can just anything and random. And, you know, we used to do notes all week. We'd collect a bunch of things we wanted to talk about. For those who are just joining the show, we used to be super, super hard into sports, which we will get to sports later on. But we would go all week and just pick out topics, pick out headlines, things that interested us so that we could talk about the podcast. And so we switched it up about three episodes and started going freestyling more. And we just absolutely love it. It is in the first place for us, but it is 100 times more fun.
Just freestyling.
Yeah.
Like we got a roundabout idea what we want to talk about. Like sure. I send Adam notes like, hey, we should probably cover this. We should probably cover that. We should probably, and then we're like, okay, we'll just spitball it and wing it when we get in there.
You bet. And we love to hear ourselves talk. We love the sounds of our own voice. Now we don't even bring in notes. Show them your notes.
Yeah,
man.
Hang on. Here's my
notes. I'm not going to be able to read it, but that's it. Little, like, not maybe a quarter of a page.
Yeah, that's it.
You bet.
That's it. And this is what the notes used to look like. Full page, like pages, and now it just turned to this. I'm like, you know what, man? I've never been one to study for tests and pass them. So, you know what?
I like how you added that.
Yeah, because I was like, no, I'm either going to know it or I don't.
Right.
You know, and that's what we do, baby. We rock and roll on this show.
Yes, we do.
But anyways, back to my tattoo, though, dude.
Yeah.
So I went down there at, like, noon. We got everything sketched out, worked out. We started at probably close to 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Then about 1, 2 o'clock this morning, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot of work, dude, for one sitting.
You're a trooper, dude.
It was hurting. It was starting to hurt. And the coolest part was my boy Jay. Jay was like, dude, you're taking this like a trooper. I was like, thank you. He's like, does that hurt? I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, trust me, I'm not that tough. I'm just pretending to be a tough guy. I'm not that tough. And he's like, man, you're taking it good. Every now and then, I'd wince. I wouldn't tense up because you tense up and mess up my tat. But,
yeah
it's going to get – and what's bad is in two, not bad, but what's awesome is in 2 weeks when it heals, I'm going to go back, get some more shading done too. We were just like, man, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm pretty tired.
Was he like Forrest Gump after he's been rutted? It's tired. Yeah. I'm pretty tired. I'm going to go home now.
I was like, okay, I can live with the way it looks right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want it to like look not cool.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where I have to explain to people. Because, like, and what's bad is now that I've set this long and got a tattoo,
mm-hmm.
If you got tattoos, call in.
Yeah.
Now that I've set this long and got that much work done,
right?
I don't see how I see people with semi-big tattoos. It's a pretty big tattoo.
Yeah.
I don't see how people that I've seen get semi-big tattoos and be like, oh, well, they had to quit, so it healed. Look at my arm. That was one sitting.
Here, hold your arm up on your camera there
mm-hmm.
and show how big your arm is, and then I've got a normal. I mean, that's a big freaking tattoo. I mean, it may not look like it's that massive on you, but you have a large circumference in your arm compared to like the normal Joe Blow like me with my little pea shooters.
And we're going to change that.
Yeah.
We're going to get Adam on one of them plans.
Yeah. Well, I showed you just before this show.
You got a good foundation, dude. We could make you big. It would show that. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I got nothing. And it's just strategically placed fat, but I've got. Yeah, it's like
that's
kind of like Goofy used to.
No,
you know,
man,
you
we're gonna boost that ego, man. We're gonna boost your ego. I can't say what people say. I say it too, but there's a difference. Go ahead.
Well, I've never been athletic. I played roller hockey for about 23 years, so I used to have a strong back, and I worked in an auto shop for about 6 years, and so I was in there every day with my arms above my head, and that, you know, gave me some pretty big shoulders and a thick neck. my wife was digging through some old photos because we were getting rid of the clutter for our remodel, and she found this photo of me back before, and when I worked in the shop. And dude, I didn't realize I was ever that skinny. I mean, I was a 32 waist back then. I didn't have abs, but you know, sugar coated abs. Now I'm rocking the keg. So, but I can't wait for you to open this gym, dude.
Show that picture. You're about to see Adam looking jacked. We're gonna make Adam. Like I said, look at his neck. I mean, this dude's got a thicker neck than mine. And I'm like, I can't. We got something to work with, dude. You got broad shoulders, a big neck. I mean,
never in a million years would have thought that I'd hear somebody tell me that this is gonna be a bad photo because. But yeah, here. Oh, you know what? I'll find it on social media there. But
hey, there
yeah.
it is. It's showing.
There we go.
It's showing.
Yeah, look at that.
Y'all got to watch on Monday morning to see the picture of Adam. And we
haven't looked like that.
On AA meeting.
I haven't looked like that in 15 years, let me tell you, dude.
How old are you now?
Okay, 10 years, but 35. But math wasn't my strong suit there in Tahlequah. You know, we are ranked 47th in the nation for education. So I was one of those ones anchoring that number down.
You know, and what's kind of weird is in I was really good at math.
Really?
And it's only subject I was ever like I would have all D's and C's.
That's
and
crazy.
One A. It isn't math.
Arnold, I never would have thought.
No one does because I play it off as just, oh, I'm just this.
No game.
When I went to Connors.
Right.
I went to Connors State University. It's a JUCO.
Uh-huh.
My math teacher wanted, what was his name? Carville. I think it was Carville.
Right.
Wanted me to go and major as a math major because they would pay for all my school. And if mm-hmm. I went and became a teacher, I could everything would get paid for.
Wow. There is a gnat that's driving
me nuts.
Anyway,
dude.
Go ahead.
The only thing in here. But and that's what he was wanting me to do. And I was like, because like he would show like he, you know, you make an equation this long. You have to look at watch the video.
Mm-hmm.
You make an equation this long. I would make those equations this long, skip like 30 different steps and make my equation like only use like a quarter of a paper just to skip.
You going all Rain Man?
I was.
Yeah, definitely that's circumference 4.
I'm pretty sure.
3.14.
Just a lot smoother.
Two for good, one for bad. Two for good, one for bad. See, I never really had any subjects that I excelled in. I was horrible at math because I can say it now because I've graduated. I was really bad about taking the answers out of the back of the books and I don't want to say cheat because I did do the work, but I checked my work against the answers in the back.
Did you check them before or after?
I am neither going to confirm nor deny that statement.
So you can't say I just wanted to make sure I got the same answer.
You bet. So I was trying to build a house on a beach with no foundation and no flooring. So, I mean, later on, geometry, algebra, I never even made it to trig. And it just all sucked. And I had such a hard time. Fortunately, we did have some really good teachers in Tahlequah, especially. And I'm going to give it, he passed a while back, Coach Haney. It was an amazing teacher. And he really broke things down for me. And when I got into college, this is awesome. When I went to take the ACTs, right? I forgot my calculator that day. And so I roll into the take the test, and I literally guessed on every single math question because I couldn't do the calculation.
What'd you get on?
22. And ACTs, that's high.
That is, but I'd expect to do as high. I'd expect to do like that 25, 26.
No.
Was it 32? It's like the highest you can get, 32, 33?
I thought it was 25.
No, I think it's like 32. 32.
Well, see, the shows I don't even fucking know.
So yours wasn't that high. You were average.
Hey,
I'm just joking.
For not having a calculator.
You did it better than me. You had a calculator. You know what's bad? When I went and took the ACT,
uh-huh.
You hear an awesome story? I went and took the ACT, and I finished like before everyone, like
right.
on one of those sections that you do.
Uh-huh.
And I fell asleep, because I was like, this isn't good. I look and I see everybody else still working. And I was like, you are not a super genius. This is not good.
Where's those A's now?
And I, you know, if you close the book, you ain't supposed to like reopen none of, you know? And I'm like,
right.
I was like, oh crap, I don't know what to do. So I went to sleep. And I go to sleep and I'm fast smooth out, dude. And I was sitting there, I'm dreaming, and this is a true story. I'm dreaming, I'm dry. I can remember because I remember this every time I think, every time someone says something about an ACT test. I'm dreaming, I'm driving down the road and it's a sunny day and I'm just chilling, having a great time to the radio. And then I was like, dude, you goofball, you are not supposed to be asleep this hard. I sat up and like right when the timer was about to end for that test.
Wow.
I mean, dude, I was out and I was like, oh shit, you're asleep hard. I was like scared myself away.
That lucid dreaming can scare the shit out of you sometimes too. Mm-hmm. And see, I'm always really good about nightmares. Usually when I have a nightmare, I kind of realize, well, this is not normal. This can't be real. And then next thing I know, I'm lucid dreaming. So you can kind of go off. I can't remember which Nightmare on Elm Street it was, where she took control of the dream to fight against Freddy.
Yeah.
But that's it works for me.
Yeah.
And as morbid as it's going to sound,
if Freddy Krueger ever comes after you, he's screwed because out of control. That's
oh yeah, yeah. I've read too many comic books, watched too many.
You're ready for Dream World. You're ready for Freddy Krueger. You're going to jump up with an Iron Man mask, a Captain America shield. You got Hulk hands and a Thor hammer.
I've waited my whole life for this.
You got to watch the video for that.
That neck just doubled in size.
Everything like about you doubled in size. You just swelled up.
And I was like, oh man, that's awesome. But or if you could just get more, you just kill yourself and then you wake up. That works too.
True. I like your theory though.
Oh man, but it works. It does. What's the worst is when you get sleep paralysis.
Oh yeah.
I've never been that scared from a nightmare in my life is when you wake up, but you can't wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're sitting there and you're trapped in your own body. And the first time I ever had that, I was with my wife and I think we were just dating at the time. And I wake up and I can't, but I'm awake. I can't move my body. And so the scary part is you're still dreaming too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like dreaming of like, this is why I don't watch Ghost Hunters before bed. Like something coming up from underneath the bed, wrapping its hands around me or something. You know,
that's what a 12-year-old girl would say. I don't watch scary things before I go to bed.
And I watch some of the most morbid, messed up shows.
Okay, you want to know something crazy? Just to touch base on what you just said.
Sure.
I love watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre before I go to bed.
Right.
Because it gives me the scariest dream of him chasing me.
Yeah,
and like I get that rush and I'm like, I don't know why, but if I watch, there's two movies that if I watch every time I say people will call them nightmares. I say they're fun mares.
Yeah.
Because I have a blast when I'm in there. And one is Michael Myers, any of the Halloween, don't matter if it's the Rob Zombie ones or an old one.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I watch any of those two.
I have the wildest dream about them.
That is funny.
It is. And I'm like,
you just like totally went Bane from Dark Knight, right?
Yeah, I do. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so crazy. And I'm like running from him and I should be like super terrified.
You
but it's
were
like,
made in the darkness. I was born from it.
I was. I think so.
Oh man. What's the craziest nightmare you've ever had? Or dream? Just crazy. What's the craziest dream you've ever had?
Craziest dream I've ever had.
See, this is what we do on AA. I mean, we put each other on the spot.
Man, you know, and what's crazy is I don't dream a lot.
Really?
I don't. Like, I go to sleep, and unless I watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
uh-huh.
I like watching zombie movies. Don't do it for me. Like, I love zombie movies, but they won't give me those cool nightmares. I think it's because I'm secretly ready for a zombie apocalypse.
dude, you are.
I am.
And a lot of people, fun fact, one thing that a lot of people don't know about you is you're really into the paranormal stuff.
I am. I'm super paranormal stuff. You know what else is cool? You know, like Chris Jericho is into it. I listen to his podcast. I'd love to get Chris Jericho on here just to talk about paranormal.
I'm about to see Chris Jericho in 23 days at Rocklahoma. His band Fog is playing.
Hey,
if
you get it, are you at the meet and greet?
They don't really have one.
They don't have a meet and greet.
I mean, if you got the $2,000 package or whatever, you get backstage where you can eat.
We got two options. Option A, we try to get in as media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Option B is I try to get on security.
That one work. That would work too. But I hear he's such a cool guy. He's so very down to earth. I've heard of him on a lot of different podcasts and a lot of interviews.
Like he's super big in the paranormal too, though.
Yeah.
The craziest dream I ever had. I had a nightmare, and it was one of the dreams that I just don't. I don't dream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny you brought up the paranormal part because in my dream I was out ghost hunting.
I figured as much.
And it's really weird you said that because you brought that up. In my dream I'm out ghost hunting and I'm at this old gym, right?
Yeah.
And it's some basketball gym out in the middle of some country school. And it's me and my buddy Dutch. And Dutch is my guy that we go out. And just
he called in last week.
Dutch, yeah. Y'all, and he called in last week. It was Dutch. But in my dream I go out and it's the weirdest dream. And we're out in spook hunting is what we call it down here. We're out here ghost hunting and we're at this old gym, and we see it's dark, so you see a bunch of weird things moving in. And that's kind of creeped me out because it felt real. Like, I don't have dreams that feel real. I have dreams that feel stupid.
Right.
You know, like, I'm just climbing a fence, and it's, like, keeps growing, weird stuff like that. But this one felt super real and scared the crap out of me. And so I'm sitting there, and I see, like, things in the darkness move. And next thing I know, I see a light on at the other end, and there's a girl in white. And I take off running. I was like, nope, done. We're out of here. And we turn around and take off, right? We run out this door, and the door shuts behind us. Well, it's one of those old school gyms with the long, like, push door. You know, you push that little bar down, and it opens up the doors. And this is all in the dream. And, like, I can vividly see everything.
Right.
We run out, and I take off, and I'm like, oh, crap, where's Dutch? And I turn around, and I was like, and I get a text message, they do, get back over here. And I was like, okay. So I come back over there. Dutch is just kind of freaking out, walking backwards, still in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl's coming to him. So we get the door open. And I'm like, boom, shut the door. The girl comes, like, keeps coming. Well, I hear the door shaking. Like, it's pulling the door instead of pushing it. And I'm like, dude, I'm sweating bullets. And we're running up this hill to a car. And this is all in a dream. And I don't have vivid dreams.
Right.
I do not have it. And this thing is like, I can still tell you details for details. That's how messed up it messed my head up. And so we're sitting there, and next thing I know, I hear the door shut.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, it's like a horror movie. And I'm running up this little hill, and I was like, oh, this sucks so bad. And I turn around, and she reminded me of the girl off the Ring.
Oh, okay.
Like, really,
that one's
grungy, long hair that was in front of her face, and a white dress. Yeah, exactly. Next thing I know, I see it, but it's like crab walking. This is how crazy the dream was. It's crab walking toward me, and I freak out. I'm just frozen.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is Dutch was in the dream, but it wasn't Dutch.
Uh-huh.
It was Dutch, but the person I'm looking at wasn't Dutch.
Wow.
And that's the weird part. Yeah. Anyway, so this thing's crab walking toward me, right?
Mm-hmm.
It gets right up to me and stands straight up, and that's where I woke up, and I sit up in bed. That's the craziest dream I've ever had.
That's insane.
Like, I've never had a dream that people's like, instead of, nope, I've had one. The weirdest thing I've ever had.
Soaking wet and what you hope is sweat.
Yeah, it probably wasn't, but I still slept in it anyways.
Oh, man. It wasn't even the dream that made it so bad, which, you know, everybody has those nightmares, you know, the worst possible thing that can happen to you. One of my kids was getting out of a car. We let her go with some family. Well, one of her cousins got out of the car and didn't think to look back because she's a teenager and shut the door. Well, she shut it on my daughter's foot.
Okay.
Thankfully, she didn't break anything. Well, so she came in later on, about an hour or two later, I dozed off on the couch. Well, I had a dream that it relived the moment, but it was her head.
Oh, my God.
And broke her neck. And that was the dream. And as a parent, that's like,
dude, that's like the worst thing ever. Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden I hear her voice and I look up and she was standing right in front of me. And I don't know if any of you with kids has ever had that woken up with your kid just watching you, not saying a word, not touching you, but just staring at you. And
you know, little kids do that though. Like they don't want to wake you up, and but they want you to do something, you
right?
know? But they're too like nervous. Yeah. I don't want to say nervous or scared, but they don't want to wake you,
right?
But they want you to be awake,
right?
It reminded me of Paranormal Activity.
Yeah,
you remember on Paranormal Activity where they would stand at the foot of that bed?
Yeah,
that's what little kids do, you know. And anybody who had kids or you know raised kids or been around knows exactly what you're talking
about. Oh man, and it was in my dream she was dead and we had just buried her or whatever, and then. Daddy, and then I open my eyes and she's standing right there 6 inches from my face. Oh my gosh, you want to talk about scream?
Did you scream probably, or give her a hug? Because you said a nightmare.
The wife said I yelled, but I would not be surprised if I screamed like a girl, just like 12-year-old girl. Oh my gosh, I don't think I've ever been woken up that afraid in my life.
Adam screams zombie when he sees his daughter after having a nightmare. Jeez Louise.
Man, that's crazy.
That's scary, though, dude. That is the horriblest dream I've ever heard of.
Oh.
I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine that.
Yeah. It is one of my worst fears.
It's every parent's. But, that fear is never going to go away from you.
No, I've had the dream a few times since because it was so bad.
Yeah.
And by far one of my worst nightmares is something happened to my kids. But I tell you what else. To shift gears a little bit, what a lot of people were hoping and praying that the Oakland Raiders would stay home, but nope. Somebody's dreams came true, and they're moving to Vegas. It's official. It's done. The concept art has from the architect has been released, and I'm going to throw it up here on the big screen for those of you on YouTube watching us on YouTube. But this thing looks freaking cool.
It's unreal.
Get it. There we go. But you know what? We're going to play it with the music. The music makes it.
Explain what it looks like there.
It's very futuristic. On either side of the end zones are sliding walls of glass that opens up. There's a huge torch inside of it, and one side's looking over the Luxor Hotel and MGM. They can do concerts and such in there. Very, very futuristic. They showed a view of the top of the roof, but I don't know if the roof retracts. But, you know, being in the desert, I would think that
like the roof looks glass.
Yeah, yeah, it's totally glass roof, so you can see the sky. I like it.
I bet the roof doesn't retract. That's why they got that big sky.
I can't see it contracting. There's video that surrounds the entire rim of the roof. It's really cool. It's really cool.
I hate it.
You hate it?
I hate it because I don't want them to leave Oakland. So
you're bitter.
Yeah, I'm going to be bitter to the day I die.
I'm with you. And a lot of the Raider Nation is too.
Raider Nation is not going to follow that to Vegas. They done basically told them F you to Oakland and moved them. I mean, granted, Oakland wasn't doing a lot to help keep them, but they should have figured something out and worked with something. I'll tell you the biggest thing about them moving to Oakland that gets me is when they moved to Oakland or moved to Vegas, I can't imagine how much trouble the players are going to get into.
Oh my God!
Saturday night before the games.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's Vegas. Strip club on every corner, bar every.
Not even that. The Rhino, the White Rhino, is down there in Vegas, which is like.
What is the White Rhino?
A strip club.
Oh okay. Oh, is that the multi-level, like the 3-story tall that pretty famous for?
It's super famous.
Wow, that might be it. Yeah.
Like all the millionaires I partied with in Vegas,
that's where they were going.
That's where they took me.
Nice.
Yeah, they took, dude.
I didn't hear that story.
That's not an on-air story. That is a one-on-one. We're sitting at our local watering hole.
It's locker room talk.
It is. It is a lot of locker room.
That is beautiful.
The stadium is super nice. Y'all need to check this video out. It's super amazing to get off the topic of me in Vegas.
I'm trying to help you out.
Exactly. But that place is, just Vegas in general, dude. That,
yeah.
So much trouble is going to get started with the players on Saturday night there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see it being, and I can't even imagine the Oakland players that are going to move to Vegas.
You know, that's what, 3 hours from LA?
Three or four.
Probably 4 hours from Oakland. That's a long ways. Most of them are going to have to, but
yeah.
They picked up some pretty good, a couple of good players within the draft.
Dude, one of the biggest pickups that we got, why in the world was
your girlfriend? Fortunately, I switched the no one wants to see the how about that girl.
I have no idea why that played.
But the biggest pickup
that I like they got was Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Was Marshawn Lynch they picked up. If he can just bring some of what he brought to Seattle, and he's had a year off, which that's either going to be good or it's going to be bad.
There was one that I saw them really going on and on about, but Arlo, do you know how to pronounce that? Obi Melifonwu, I think.
Melifonwu.
Yeah, he was number 56.
Albert, are you surprised?
And let me kill that video there. But
and that's round two pick. I mean, which he was a safety from Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Solid safety. I mean, what I liked about what they did this year in the draft was they went and got defensive help, which is what they needed ultimately last year.
Yeah.
Last year they were playing the same thing my Cowboys played, except they would have went further except for Carr got hurt. They were playing the same game Dallas was, which is playing our offense is going to outscore your offense.
Yeah.
And if you put up 30, 35 points, we're going to put up 42 points.
I was really feeling – I knew we were in trouble when we hit the Kansas City Chiefs wall. And
Kansas City made it a tough, hard-nosed game.
Man, when they stopped Carr, we fell apart. And that's – they say the best offense – or the best defense is a good offense. And
Berto just hit me and said, get that love feed on Facebook going. Get that live feed on Facebook going. I tell you what, Berto, we might do it. Keep going. But yeah, I mean, and then who they draft first? That cornerback from Ohio State, Garyon Conley.
Right.
But man, Conley was solid, dude. Playmaker, kid's fast, kid's got a nose for the ball. I thought he was solid as a player. Ran a decent 40 time. Quick enough to still be in the NFL. Quick enough to still be a corner in the NFL.
It's pretty controversial.
What?
It looks like he had a rape allegation against him. But that's neither here nor there. Most of these football players do, but that...
this guy just called everybody.
I'm sorry. It's the world we live in. We had talked about it last week about wishing that they would start putting conduct clauses into their contracts. Especially after the Adrian Peterson stuff and all the gun charges he had over the years. Speaking of controversy and code of conduct, they're catching a lot of flack. The Bengals are for picking up Mixon, Oklahoma's own Mixon.
Hey, we got a shout out from Berto to say go live, brother.
What up, Berto?
We're live one more time. Let's just keep talking. Keep talking about what we're talking about. We're just going to go live here.
Joe Mixon, yeah. We're talking about Joe Mixon.
Mixon, did you hear his response?
I did
in the Bengals locker room? I mean, he gave a real mature response, which I can appreciate that as a young man.
Right.
We already had the discussion about Mixon and his issues, like on the first two episodes maybe. Was he's definitely in the wrong. Was she in the right? No,
right.
Not by any means. He seriously overreacted, but in her, you know, she's got to think for every action you do, there's going to be a reaction. And not every guy grew up in the same place as we did where you didn't see someone hit a female.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it makes them any better or makes it any worse, but at the same time, sometimes you do what you've seen. You know what I mean? And I'm not making any defense for the young man. He's a hell of a player and going to be probably a hell of a player for many years. Mm-hmm. I do think he went on the wrong team because a lot of those Bengals – if everybody remembers the Pittsburgh Steelers game when Pittsburgh was playing Cincinnati, they took a lot of cheap shots and was hurting a lot of people. And I don't know if some of those hard-nosed they got Pac-Man Jones, who's had a rap sheet a mile long. People like that are not going to benefit him as growing as, like the Aaron Hernandez I said last week, the right people that you surround yourself with to make yourself better, to improve your life, to improve the good qualities you have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he went on the right team that's going to have the right people that have been through it and changed through it and moved through it, passed through it to become better, that he's going to get those people on there, on that team. Not saying those people are bad people on there, but they're not. They don't seem to me to be the most uplifting people.
Yeah, and this—I don't know. I think the mixing thing was totally. I mean, it was legit. I mean, I can't defend him, and I will not defend him. Especially, I'm just very hard nosed. You never put your hands on a woman. At absolute worst case scenario, you can't stop what's happening. You restrain, but. He just smacked her. He just laid her out. So, but it is what it is. And he moved on. He never said, found an excuse for it.
You know, he apologized.
Right.
You heard he apologized.
Sure.
I mean, which it don't make it any better.
Yeah.
But I mean, at least both of them can move on from that point.
That's very true. That's very true. Do you also see in, Major League Baseball news, Derek Jeter and former presidential candidate Jeb Bush, they won the auction for the Miami Marlins.
And that's pretty cool. I mean, the reason being, I think they go with like Bush and Jeter is because Jeter knows baseball.
Right.
And Bush knows money.
Sure.
So, I mean, you're going to get the best of kind of both worlds.
Yeah.
You got a rich dude and a pretty rich dude, but one knows baseball, one knows money. And one thing about Jeter is he knows success because he was with the Yankees in all those championship eras of the 90s and the early 2000s. I mean, you're not going to get much more baseball knowledge, talent scouting than what he can do.
Right.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see where they go with it from there.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think they got a chance of making something great happen? Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I don't know if Barry Bonds is still their batting coach. I mean, that's a start, dude. People can sit there and mouth and say Barry Bonds, oh, he was steroids, oh, he was this, oh, he did that. Yes, he did. But that don't change the hand-eye coordination.
Right.
And that brings power.
Mm-hmm.
Power don't hit home runs. Bat speed hits home runs.
Well,
and don't get me wrong, Mark McGwire muscled a lot of balls out, so it does get it there. But Barry Bonds had one of the fastest swings. Roy Jordan, you're watching. Roy, no, just say go Cubbies, Roy. Roy's my base. You remember Roy?
Oh, yeah.
Roy. Roy, you remember, shoot me a message real quick or call in, man, about bat speed and power, the differentials in them. Because I'm not like a super knowledgeable guy in baseball. I know baseball, but and like I said, the thing that kills King Griffey Jr. was not a big man, but had a fast bat speed. That's why he jacked like 450 foot home runs.
Right.
My favorite baseball player of all time.
Well, you can inflate your muscles. You can use the performance enhancing drugs, but that's not going to enhance your knowledge. And you're not going to hit those homers off of steroids alone.
No. And you know, the other thing is, man, it's not going to change. It's not, like you said, it's not going to change the knowledge. It's not going to change your film study. Tony Gwynn, who I consider one of the greatest hitters of all time, Tony Gwynn would actually study film on pitchers. You don't get a lot of film study in baseball. I don't think. Roy, do you get a lot of – Roy just put Chipper Jones, greatest brain of all time. I have no idea why Roy's just saying – Roy's like, I ask him a question. He's just answering like, are you drunk already? It's Sunday. I know it's Sunday, but I'm like, Roy, what's the difference between bat speed and power? Chipper Jones, the greatest brain. Okay, I understand. I love Chipper Jones too. It makes no sense what I'm talking about. That's why I love that guy. But – what was I getting at? But Tony Gwynn in the film study. Tony Gwynn, I don't think you get a lot of film study in baseball. I mean, it's pretty much, you know, seeing and hand-eye coordination. But Tony Gwynn would actually watch film study and watch the way the arm released. Of course, he's seen the ball rotation. He probably had like 1,000 times better vision than anybody. Wade Boggs. Great Yankee.
One of my favorites.
He said his eyes were so good, he could see the rotation on the seams of the balls that they were coming to him.
That's insane.
Dude,
I've tried getting pitched at, and it was horrible.
Let's remember, the pitch doesn't last more than a second.
Tenths of seconds.
Tenths of seconds.
On top of that.
And you're talking about a reaction time from visually seeing the ball.
You're looking at tenths of a second.
Right.
Like, you see his arm do this, and then that's probably it. Like, yeah. You probably see the windup in this, and then the ball's just gone.
Crap, I blinked.
I can't even imagine. I've tried hitting a ball, getting pitched. I mean, it was like 60, 70 miles per hour.
Right.
And I couldn't hit it. Like, and that's probably like a second to get there. I couldn't hit it. Like, my hand-eye coordination was horrible. And I boxed, and I thought I had great hand-eye coordination.
Right.
But it's different for
But you can read the body language, though.
True, true. But by the time I read the body language, the pitch was gone.
Yeah.
That pitch was done hitting the mitt. And I'm like, well, what that one? How many do I get? Just three?
If you don't get hit.
Exactly. And I thought every one of them was going to hit me. I was twitching, you know.
Oh,
no, dang. I can't do that. That's just not me. But I tell you what, I can't get punched in the face and not be scared. But a baseball flying at me, even if it was 70 miles per hour by a guy who couldn't pitch that fast.
Yeah.
Scared the living daylights out of me.
Well, and as I've said before, I played goalie for about 15 years. Granted, it's just roller hockey, but I played goalie for 15 years. You can track the ball. And after you take so many coming at you this way.
Roy finally answered me. He must not be too drunk. He said bat speed is the number one cause of homers. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
But you can trace the ball to see the arc. You can. It's crazy what you can accomplish within a second or so. A second's a long time once you start doing it repetitively over and over and over and over again.
Exactly.
But then you get that guy that's just on the next level, and it's just what you think you've got it down, and then it's just freaking laser beams coming at your face.
And, you know, that's what separates people who goes to those levels and who don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sucks, but we all have to, you know – admitting our own humility is the world's hardest thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the hardest thing to admit, that you, I don't want to say can't do something, but you're just not on that same level. You're not going to, you can probably still do it, but you're not going to be able to do it as good as them.
Right.
But that just means it wasn't your calling. Go chase what you can do. You know, go find what you do great. That guy found what he did great.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So find what you do great. Anybody got any questions, man? Shoot us a question on here. Eddie, well, this is Sports Talk, man. Anytime you want to call in, my boy Eddie Webster. We used to sit at B&J's restaurant and talk football till like 6 in the morning. Sun would be coming up. We'd leave the bar and go sit and just sit there and watch.
Awesome.
The sun come up and sitting there eating breakfast all morning, probably ran like a $100 bill eating too much food, and just keep talking about arguing about the Ravens and the Cowboys.
I tell you, you want to talk restaurants. The Spurs coach going to NBA, the Spurs coach, Greg Popovich, left a Memphis waiter $5,000 on a tip on a bill that was $815 at McEwen's in Memphis. That's a 611% gratuity. Holy crap. I mean, that's freaking awesome. And
my boy Eddie said steroids are the number one cause of homers. That's something he'd say, too. That's something he'd say. But, dude, that's unreal. $5,000? Was it five or six?
$5,000. Even $5,000.
$5,000? Dude, I feel proud when I leave like a $15 tip. You know, I can't imagine leaving a freaking.
I wonder if the waiter stayed.
Man, okay.
Screw you. I'm starting my own restaurant.
So I took this girl out one time, right?
Yeah.
I took this girl out one time, and we went down to, what was that steakhouse? It was down in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Mm.
We went to the steakhouse in Fort Smith, Arkansas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Longhorn. Went to Longhorn.
Okay.
Waiter sucked.
Yeah.
Right? The waiter sucked. Like, a different waitress got our drink refill.
Right.
I was like, all right, F this guy. We're not doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay with a $100 bill, right? The bill's like 50 something bucks.
Uh-huh.
The guy had the audacity to say, "Do you need change?" I looked at him. I said, pardon the language, everybody. But I looked at the guy and said, "Fuck yeah, I need change." I mean, like, I was like, okay, dog, I don't care who you are, I don't care where I'm at, I've been kicked out of nicer places, trust me.
So when you don't get me a refill, and I'm telling this guy this, I'm like, you damn right, you are not getting anything.
Holy
and
crap.
I went up to the other girl who got my refill twice, gave her $10, and I was like, hey, thanks, sweetie, because that wasn't your table.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I always tip what I can, and I confess
absolutely.
I'm not a great tipper just because anymore it's like almost a $50 just to eat for a family of four.
I got you.
And so, but, you know, especially for the super – really good.
Man,
Bert was
trying to clown me about taking some good. Bert, I'm going to beat your ass. You talking shit up here on my Facebook. I keep going, man.
But I've gotten some friends that they're currently food service workers or they have, and they've been totally stiffed with the tip. Or the what I don't understand is what in someone's what would ever possess somebody to not only not leave a tip, but to leave a lecture message on there, or like money's got to be earned or whatever. I can't remember what I've seen several on Facebook, but if anybody, it's bad enough for you to leave a tip, but if you're going to leave a snide remark, man, you just go cook your own food. These people are there to make a living.
Well, my buddy Roy, he's kind of a dick. He's a tipping is overrated in this town. I love you too, Berto. I'm just giving you shit. But, yeah.
Well, there's the old saying, if you can't afford to tip, you can't afford to eat out.
That's true.
And you got to...
Or if you're just hateful old bitter man like my buddy Roy. Roy's like that. Roy's like that old man that just gripes about everything, even though he's only like 36.
It sounds like he needs a podcast.
I think he does. He needs like the hateful old man hour by Roy Jordan.
But
I'm still calling you out, brother. I'm sorry.
We got to keep in mind that most wait staff, they on average make like what, $2.75 an hour. I mean, their tips
you
are
know
their
what,
life.
You know what's crazy? You know you don't have to pay a wait staff. That's how they get away giving them $2.75 an hour
right.
or $2.50. You do not have to pay them. It's technically like free. I had a buddy who used to be in a. He used to be a food server at Red Lobster, and he explained all that to me. Like, he explained how you're not really tipping. You're paying for the table if you're waiting there so long, like you're renting that booth out from them.
Sure.
Because they would make X amount of dollars had you not left at a certain amount of time. And I was like, I have never looked at it that way. But I tell you what, that SOB that came from Fort Smith, that long, I don't care. I would have sat there for 10 hours and not dropped him a dime because he never got me a refill. Man, you all want to piss me off? Do not get me a refill. Walk by me four times?
Right.
You're lucky I have a little more class than I used to when I was younger. Else I yanked him up and said, hey, look here, you little scrawny son.
I had a friend that they were really bad. I mean, and they weren't doing it just to be dicks, but they were like, sip, like if their thing was empty, they'd sit there and slurp on it.
You know what I do? I set it on the end of the table.
That's what I do. I mean,
I'm like, look, if you are not going to check on me, dang, we already got 7 minutes left.
Yeah.
Dude, we flew through
this.
We do. Let me talk about a fight real quick.
All right.
So last night was Klitschko Joshua fight.
Uh-huh.
Dude, amazing fight. If y'all love boxing like I do, I love fighting. I'm not the biggest MMA person that loves MMA, but I'm a huge fight fan. Last night, I mean, I'm a huge boxing fan. Love it.
Yeah.
That's my life right there. Huge heavyweight fight. Putting boxing back on the map with Klitschko Joshua, man. Vladimir was trying to make a comeback after losing his title to Tyson Fury.
Right.
Anthony Joshua won a title, trying to show out that he still deserves it to be where he's at. You don't see heavyweights fight like they did last night.
Wow.
They went out, put it all on the line. Klitschko got knocked down in the fifth round.
Right.
Comes back, knocks Joshua down in the seventh round. You don't see that in heavyweight fights and get back up.
Right.
Usually they get knocked down, they stay down.
Mm-hmm.
I can brag and say I've never been knocked down while I'm amateur. I took some hard blows, trust me. We take them pro fights because when I open this gym, if I may have to come out of retirement to keep it running. So everybody, we may be making a small comeback. But anyways, great fight, dude. Unreal fight. I mean, Klitschko hits like 2 tons of bricks. So does Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I loved about it was a war at a big man level. And that's what I love. The thing I love doing, I could box. I was smooth, but I love the fight. I love getting in there. You stand. You don't move. You don't dance. Let's see who's the bigger man, and let's get it. And that's what those two big men did. Came up short for Klitschko. He got TKO'd in the 11th. I called the 7th, but hey, he did it 4 rounds later, Joshua did.
And I mean, right now the sky's the limit for that dude. He's like 26, 27 maybe, yeah. Knocking people out left and right. I think he's 19-0 now with 19 knockouts. And people are like, oh, people think you get in there to fight and you start knocking people out. You
right.
don't. It's hard to knock people out. It's hard to hit someone and just lay them out. So if you knock someone out, you're doing it right. Other thing is, man, like I said, y'all get a chance, watch that fight. It was a great fight. The other thing is, man, we got Canelo Chavez. I don't know if I'm going to get to be in that. I'm probably not going to be media for it.
Yeah.
But, hey, it happened. You know, we put in for it. You might win some. You might lose some. But on I think I'm going to give it to Canelo. Chavez looks really dried out
right.
really early
uh-huh.
for this fight. So I think he's going to wither out, tire out before the end of the fight. And I see it. And I was saying a 12-round unanimous decision by Canelo. But right now I'm probably going to say 9th or 10th round stoppage by Canelo.
We're going to have to watch that fight. We're going to have to see that.
Yeah, but that's where I'm taking it. I'm going to say 9th or 10th round stoppage by Canelo. I thought it's got the hype to be a great
fight. When is
fight,
that?
This coming Saturday. But it's on pay-per-view. We'll figure out a way to
see, this is why we need our sponsors. So
exactly
we get our sponsors, get us some pay-per-views so we can cover the fights with you. You can call in and analyze the fights with us. That'd be awesome.
Exactly, man. You might love Berto loves fights. We'll be talking about this one probably on Sunday with him.
You bet. Well, we're winding down to the last couple of minutes. For those watching on Arlo's live feed over there, remember, every week we are right here on Facebook.
Now we're doing this.
6:30 every Sunday. We are live on the AA meeting. And it's about coming to time for some words to live by, Arlo.
We say words to live by, but, you know, man, I just like to talk.
Sure.
So I'm always trying to help people out.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's about. But, you know, I always tell people, you know, we sit here and say words to live by. And all I'm trying to do is tell people, I guess it is words to live by, man. That's a good segment to throw it out there. And we got 3 minutes left. That's why I'm just kind of rambling, killing us a little bit more time. So we don't just cut the show completely early. But, you know, I try to stress to people to love yourself. Most importantly in life, love yourself. If you don't love yourself, once you love yourself, everything that you got in life will fall into place. But it starts there. It starts with you. And so many times we think we love ourselves, but we don't. We sacrifice ourselves to do something else, either for somebody else or for something else. And we put ourselves second a lot of times. So always put yourself first. Love yourself first. If, you know, you of all people in this world, this is what people don't get. People put themselves in bad relationships. People put themselves in shit relationships. People put themselves, and I don't mean love relationships. I mean just relationships with people in general. You of all people in this world deserve your own love and affection. Once you do that, then you can start giving it to the right person, the right people. And when I say love and affection, I don't just mean relationships. I know we've been doing Love Line a lot lately, but I just mean relationship by people. And, you know, until you value yourself, you will not value your time. And people don't get that. Until you value yourself, you will not value your time. You're going to make time for other things that's not important for you. It's going to be to somebody else. It's going to be to something. It's going to be to sleeping. It's going to be to drinking. It's going to be to party. And it's going to be to stuff that's not going to benefit you. I sit here and tell people all the time, live life to the fullest. I don't mean go out and get a drink and party your life away. I mean get up every day and grind and make yourself better than you were yesterday. So remember, until you value yourself, you will not value your time. And you will not do anything with it. So we just got a 90-second buzz. About time to wrap that up. Just wanted to drop that little bit for you. I kind of got a little spun up in it there. Kind of got cool with the live feeds going at the same time, like we always do about this time. Remember, keep living strong, keep training strong. Most importantly, keep loving strong. Till next week, the AA meeting, we out.